joining me for the June edition of Our Town, our West Lane County Commissioner Ryan Seneca is here with me today. And how are you doing?
We're doing well, George. How are you doing?
Not doing too bad. Couple of things you were just talking about when you walked in here about Junction City just had their, what, quote, kind of roadie days thing. We were there for the weekend. I didn't count them all, but I'm guessing there's at least 400 cars, classic cars, lined up in the streets out there.
Yeah, it's, you know, and it's hard to compare to roadie days, don't get me wrong, but it's kind of our car version of the motorcycles here in Florence. And my brother's actually on the board for the Function for Junction, and I think the number he came out was just under 900 cars registered for the weekend.
Really?
Yeah, so it's a two-day event. It's Friday and Saturday. Mm-hmm. And the Friday night is the big cruise through town where they do you can have 4x4s and newer cars and older cars. And then Saturday morning, which it sounds like you attended, they do the big car show where they shut the entire downtown.
Pretty much.
Yeah. And anybody that wants to join that car show can just show up. And they start showing up at 5:30 in the morning.
Yeah. And we had some Florence people out there. We saw a few Florence people with their cars out there.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it was fun because I was here for Roadie Fest this year, or Rhododendron Festival. Depends on who you talk to. I got into a little discussion about that. And
I'll be interested to find out who you discussed that with. Well, if you want to tell.
There seems to be an age gap between the Rhododendron Festival and Roadie Fest, and maybe the different groups you're talking to. But yeah, it was really fun over here for the Roadie Fest and looking at the car show. There was a bunch of people from Eugene Junction that I know that came over here for the weekend. And yeah, it's fun to see people going back and forth.
See, we do both. I say Roadie Days, I say Roadie Festival, I say Rhododendron Festival. And again, you know, you have some people that go, well, it's called this. And I'm like, well, you know, it's called whatever people are calling it. You know, you can't make them call it one thing or another.
But that's right.
So whatever works for somebody, I'm okay with that.
Oh, I actually did when I got back from Rhododendron Festival, Roadie Days. I called it. I asked. I sent some pictures out and said, all right, we got into a couple discussions. And it was about 50-50. And like I said, it really depends, I think, on who you're talking to. If you go down Bay Street and you're outside the Beachcomber, I think it's more Roadie Days.
Probably.
When you go in and do the, walk through the Florence Event Center and you're looking at the rhododendrons and stuff, then it's a Rhododendron Festival.
Yeah, it's a different culture from Bay Street to FEC.
You're only a couple blocks away, and it's a world of difference.
But yeah, you got your flower folks. It's a rhododendron, you know. I mean, that's what they do.
Yeah.
So obviously, one of the big things about Roadie Days are our unofficial dip into summer here, when we start seeing people come into town, people spending nights in the hotels and stuff. I want to talk about a little bit about the transient lodging tax. Obviously, recently there's been some movement to increase that tax, to use some of that tax for other things. Tell me your explanation of how the tax works, who benefits from it. I mean, you know, being with the Chamber of Commerce, we know how the Chamber feels about it. But just the general public, kind of clue us in into how that works.
Well, you know, it affects everybody differently. You know, some of the updates through downtown and some of the hanging baskets and stuff, I think that's pass-through money that came through the TLT fund. We're going to call it TLT fund from here on out. And, you know, just little things like that that Florence get. But it's also – it pays for all the advertising and all the things you – the events you put on to have people show up. And, you know, a big one here in Lane County is, of course, Travel Lane County, that group. And that's a – that's an amazing group that we work with. I think there's 20-something employees now, and their job is to solely get tourism dollars back here into Lane County. Now, you hit on something there a while back. It was before I was a commissioner. It was when Jay Bozovich was sitting in my seat. They increased that TLT tax by 2%. It was 6 years ago because it's accrued $2 million a year, and there's $12 million in there. So that's where that account's sitting at right now. And that money was set aside in hopes of maybe building a stadium for the M's or some sort of sports complex where they could do concerts and it would bring people in. And really is what it came down to since I became a commissioner is the city of Eugene and the, you know, kind of the hotel industry, if you will. They're a big mover and shaker in the TLT funds. There wasn't much of an appetite for the M's over there in Eugene. And, you know, I mean, these TLT dollars are supposed to benefit all of Lane County. And that would have been kind of funneling those dollars down to maybe just one entity. And so that didn't end up happening. And we weren't in a hurry because the money's sitting there accruing. And there's a couple of things that are on the table, a conference center. And maybe a different kind of indoor sports facility. And as we're doing surveys and figuring out what would bring the most amount of people into Wayne County as a whole, into Florence, into our other smaller communities. And as those conversations are happening, this just I can't remember the legislative number now, but the state legislation okayed half of the TLT funding to be used at the county's discretion in reference to what we took it as is in reference to public safety. So I don't think I need to explain to many of your listeners that our sheriff's department, well, our public safety as a whole, I mean, through our DA and parole and probation, and our jail is running off a levy. As you remember, I was in here to mm-hmm. lobby for the levy. We're down to one West Lane County patrol deputy, 40 hours a week. Now, he puts in more than that, but that's what he's, you know, that's what he's scheduled for. And one on East Lane. That's not enough deputies. So our county administrator was listening to the commissioners as a whole, and as a group that has said, we are doing what we can to up the levels of our sheriff's department, our public safety funding. What can we do to fully fund our sheriff's department? To fully fund, I mean, that's a football across the football field. We can't get there right now. But what was proposed was using half of this $12 million as some stopgap funding until we can come up with a funding source to provide, you know, funding for our sheriff's department. And so that $6 million is being proposed for rural patrol in Lane County right now. So that would leave $6 million in the fund, in the pool, for a future sports complex or conference center, whatever that would look like. And then right now that money's being, you know, possibly allocated for more rural patrol.
Yeah, but how's that going to work? Because I've been here 11 years now. And 11 years ago, we had low sheriff's department officers or deputies out here. Mm-hmm. Hasn't really gotten any better. It's gotten a little worse. I mean, now down to one. But for a while there, you know, the sheriff was trying to get a few more people out here. But it just doesn't seem to be anything that's anybody's priority. I mean, well, I don't know if it's about, you know, where the money's going to come from, I guess, but it seems to me like just recently in Florence, we enacted a user fee for the water and sewer. That they added a fee onto that so that they could help pay to keep, you know, public safety here going, mm-hmm. Without breaking the bank. So, but yet, county wise, we're not seeing anything.
Yeah,
because the stopgap's only going to help for a little while. If you don't find the funding, then it's only a temporary fix, and then it'll be back to the way it was.
Yep. No, you're exactly right, and that's I don't know when Sheriff Harold and I think it was Sheriff Harold and I that mm-hmm. was last. I don't believe it was Wilkerson yet. We also talked about the Public Safety Funding Task Force, and so that is wrapped up, and we're looking at a couple of different options on what some funding options would be for two things. Dollar amount, what can we get if we get an extra $20 million a year? How many deputies? How many DAs? What can we do with our parole and probation? What would the jail look like? And bumping those numbers up. And then how do we get that funding? I mean, that's the that's the magic key. How do we get that funding? You know, and there's a lot, there's a couple of different options out there right now, and the surveys are out. We haven't received them back yet, and it'll be really interesting to see what people prioritize, what direction they want to go. When I first came in, you and I were kind of talking about tax saturation, and it's something that I'm very cautious about because it's real. I mean, people are paying $6 a gallon for diesel. They're $5 a gallon for gas. Groceries are expensive. I don't know how my kids are ever going to move out. I mean, they're 17 and 20 now, but I mean, rent is rent is just ridiculous. If you can find a house, rent is ridiculous, let alone buying a home. So these are all things that I don't just come out and say, well, our sheriff's office needs more money, so let's do a payroll tax. That's not how I want to operate. So it's what was good about the Public Safety Funding Task Force was we gave them all the information. Here is what our entire budget looks like. Our tax assessor, Mary Vuksic Schaefer, I mean, she's great. She went out and she spent 2 hours with them just explaining to them how our tax works. I mean, we collect a dollar. Lane County only gets 11 cents of that dollar. The other money we send back out to all our different taxing agencies. And so, you know, you see this big tax bill, like, wow. I mean, you guys get a ton of money in taxes. Like, well, yes, but we have to send it to the Florence School. We have to send it to Junction City School, Eugene School. So the fire departments, on and on and on. Mm-hmm. So – and that was – I think that was a real eye-opener. I actually and I don't think he'll mind me telling him, but I appointed Keith Cole, owns BJ's Ice Cream over here in Florence, because I wanted somebody that – you know, I mean, he's a small business owner. He nobody understands taxes better than a small business owner. You probably agree. He's pro public safety, but he's very conservatively fiscally. He's fiscally conservative. So that was the kind of person I wanted in there that would ask the pointed questions. What is this? You know, where are these dollars coming from, and where are these dollars being used? Because it's really tough when I look at that budget, and this year, you know, Lane County's got a $1.1 billion budget. That's what our budget is. And we're looking at it, and we end up cutting 18 positions, and they're not all filled, but out of this department. And then we go over here and look at this department, and $1.2 billion budget just feels like you should be able to fix every road. You should have all the deputies, but things cost a lot of money, and there's you know, cost of things are going up, but our revenue's really not. Yeah. So we have that, and I don't want to call it an artificially low, but we have a low tax rate for our property taxes, but everything's ran off a levy. We need a levy for this. We need a bond for that. And so by the time you start paying for all these levies and bonds, well, now we're being taxed at one of the highest levels.
Yeah, but the one thing about the levies and the bonds, generally most of them are voter approved, right? So like a friend of mine and I were talking the other day, you know, if I want to pay for something, then I will vote for that something. If I want to contribute to something, I feel better contributing to it than being told to contribute to it. And I think a lot of people feel that way. You know, that way they can put their money where they think it'll benefit. But what about when you look at the county's budget, how much state revenue do you get for the county? Any? Some?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yes.
And has that changed? Has that gone down or up? Or?
Oh, it's down. Significantly down. Yeah. And that's – so that's one of the real tricky parts about being at the county government, because we get a lot of federal money. We also get a lot of state money. And they focus this money down these really narrow channels.
So, you mean when you said – you mean you can only use it for this?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes. So say Health and Human Services, our deflection program, you get this amount of money. In that deflection program, you need to have these outcomes. So a deflection is one of the ones where we're doing, you know, a lot of reentry housing stuff for people that would have gone to jail and maybe spending the night in a cold cell isn't the best thing for this person. They qualify for deflection. So they go and they meet our deflection peers and they coach them through, and then there's some accountability and they're working with these people. So anyhow, you get this amount of money to start this deflection program. That's great. We need money. The deflection program is something we need. But in my mind, I'm sitting here thinking, how much time and effort do we put into this deflection program when the state of Oregon is just famous for slowly pulling that funding back to the point where if we want to maintain these programs, they're almost becoming unfunded mandates, because now we have to start subsidizing it with the few county funds we actually get to keep the lights on and to keep these programs running. So,
well, again, what's the overall benefit per dollar spent on these programs? I mean, when you think about, and I had this conversation with somebody not too long ago, when you think about, we take a large portion of funds to help a small portion of our population, almost to where it may seem a little off kilter, like out of balance there. And therefore, other things go unfunded, like the sheriff's department, you know, which could use a boost.
Yes.
You know, but we're spending money on all these little specialty programs that were created through legislation without any seemingly way to pay for it.
You are preaching to the choir, George. I mean, this has been my soapbox for a while now, and that's going up and talking to the state and just saying what. I mean, I really enjoyed working with Boomer, and just, you know, Boomer, why can we get some of this money over here that's allocated for these? And you hit the nail on the head. These special services where you're spending a lot of money on certain individuals. Well, we could hire two more deputies in West Lane would make a huge difference, a giant difference. So, right now, that's just not an option. State, that is not an option. We cannot get funding to help pay for our sheriff's department. Now, things like the deflection program do help, because that saves beds, and instead of, you know, our mobile crisis. That does help, because that saves a deputy from having to go and meet with that person that's having a bad day, where they're meeting with that person that's having a bad day and they're getting another call for somebody that's having a bad day. They either need to arrest this person, take him to jail, or let him go, where mobile crisis can actually spend a little more time there, and then that frees up our deputies to deal with crime, basically. But I would like to see, I mean, obviously more funding for our deputies, but in a roundabout way, that is the line of thought, the thought process for the state of Oregon, is if we can provide these other services, it should free up the deputies to do these. But the bottom line is we just don't have enough.
So we talked a little bit about it a few minutes ago. With the transient lodging tax, hopefully maybe it was going to go build a sports complex or something. Did you have any conversations with the M's ownership when kind of it was voted down? I mean, were they a bit disappointed, peeved, angry? What was the overall feeling?
I would say all of the above. You know, twofold, though. So, I mean, they were wanting to build a $120 million stadium, and that was with the county giving them the land. So that was going to be on the fairgrounds. So you're looking $134 million. I mean, that's a big, fancy stadium. Now, that is what's required for these farm teams, these AAA farm teams that are coming up. So it was a big ask. And when it went down in Eugene with Eugene Emeralds in the name, they were pretty defeated. So we actually lost the GM for the M's, Alan Benavides. He went down. He got poached by the AAA farm team down in LA that's running the farm team Dodgers, the Dodgers farm team. And he's building, actually it's done now, but he went down and built a big, beautiful stadium with soccer fields. And so that was the city's money. The cities are much bigger there, so they have more money. But
they're spending their money just like we are.
Yeah.
I mean, it's as quick as it goes in, it goes out.
Yeah.
You know, but you look at, you know, I'm gonna get on the soapbox of my own here. You know, you got the salary of one baseball player in the majors could pay for your new stadium.
Right.
The salary of one player.
That's a good point.
You know, so why is the onus on the county or the cities that they're in?
Yeah, that's a very valid. I would say they want – there's a lot of – even for these sports complexes, they want local buy-in. I mean, they want this to be a partnership for everybody to come in. I think part of that is they feel that they are going to bring people into the community. They are providing these other services. So I don't know. I know DG, the owner of the M's – I mean, he was willing to step up. He was going to pay his portion. He just couldn't get the other portions paid, really. I mean, that's what it came down to. But then you go to, like I said, go where Alan's at now, and the city's buying that stadium. And it's gorgeous. He sent me pictures. And we still chat and talk. We became friends over this whole fiasco of trying to get that stadium built or not built, and we were able to agree to disagree and went separate ways there.
And you couldn't get Phil Knight to step up?
Well, no, because it's going to take away from his Ducks football game right there. I mean, the real – you know, what Alan wanted to do, and it made sense, was they're playing at PK Park where the U of O is right now. The stadium's built for $20, $30 million. They could have – They could have turned that into a AAA stadium and it would have met all the criteria and then they could play there. But you know, I don't think the U of O sees
the
baseball. Yeah, I don't think they see baseball as a moneymaker, and that would have been money that would have been hard to recoup if they ever recouped it.
Well, and again, you know, I mean, the Ducks, you know, within the last two decades got back into baseball. Was that how long ago it's been?
Probably real close. Yeah.
Yeah, and now, with the success they're having, they may change their tune, you know, because this will be more money in their pockets the deeper they go into, like, College World Series and stuff like that. So, you know, maybe that'll change over time.
Yeah. Yes, that's a good point. But I also know that sports programs are a lot more expensive to run now that they're in the Big Ten. So they are getting recognition. But
trade-off.
Yeah, there's a trade-off for sure. Yeah.
So what's coming up with the county commissioners that folks need to know about or be prepared for, or just common information that's out there, that things you guys are going to be doing?
You know, we'll be approving the what's currently the proposed budget here in the near future. And
now, do you do a biennium or you do every year?
Annually. Okay. Yep, it's annually. We've talked about that. That's interesting you bring that up, because it's a lot of work to do it yearly, but the thought is on that kind of – it's just the amount of funding sources that come into that budget is pretty wild. So they say it's more work to just sit there and amend it and to make it work than it is to just start over.
Right, from one year to the next, things might change too, where you have different income sources or less income sources.
Right. Yeah. Okay. No, exactly. Right. Yeah. And, you know, and now with the state – doing that, and I'm going to do air quotes for everybody on the radio, the short session legislation, which is not as short as it used to be. It keeps getting longer and longer. That changes a lot of funding sources. So if you, in theory, if you did it on the, you know, after the long session, and then just did some minor amendments in the short session, and then did your budget again on the long session. That might work, but state is not that stable currently.
So where are we doing good? And other than the sheriff's department, where could we use some improvement?
You know, we have other than one department, we have a structurally balanced budget this year, so we didn't have to dip into the reserves. One department is going to have to dip into the reserves, and that's our waste management department. They're looking at about a $3.5 million hit this year, and that is because we're losing tonnage, which is our solid waste, to other landfills. So Lane County increased their rates, and there was a couple of haulers around that didn't like the increases, and they have the ability to go elsewhere, and so they are. And that's hitting us right in the pocketbook. Now they've got their own reserves that they can pull from this year, but we're gonna have to make some adjustments for sure, because that's a big number, and you can't go a department that used to make money to one that's now losing money. I mean, that's the one that we're supposed to help pay for sheriffs and things with, and that's not happening.
How about logging money and stuff like that? Are there any hopes that increases in logging? Or
yeah, I would say some of the biggest increases are coming at the federal level, which I'm sure you could imagine, and that's like our ONC timberlands and those kind of things. Originally, the new administration wanted to come in and start logging right away, which was great, because that's really what would help the sheriff or the county funding in general, not just the sheriff's department, but you know, if we were making revenue. And by doing that, they used what's called the Good Neighbor Agreement. Well, the Good Neighbor Agreement was originally designed as to come in and clear up property lines, and there's less regulations around it, and they could come in and clear these things up, and they called it the Good Neighbor. But in doing so, the county doesn't get the receipts off the timber. so they come in and start logging like they wanted to, and it takes – with AOCC, Association of California Counties, Oregon and California Counties, they're the watchdogs over the ONC timber grounds, and they're the ones that caught it. We're like, hey, you can't – no, this is not what the good neighbor – yes, great, you're harvesting timber. We need to do what we can to, you know, to clean up and maintain our forests. But if you're going to be cutting Lane County timber, Lane County would like the receipts from that. And so they went back to D.C. and lobbied and got that fixed, and so we're getting the timber receipts for those grounds, which is good. And you know, we could get into harvesting timber yay or nay a lot, but the bottom line is the ONC timber grounds is there's no clear cutting, and they were designed to be harvested at a sustainable yield, and we're at about 12% of what a sustainable yield is right now.
So that's only 12%, so they could go greater.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so we have a 78% overgrowth, I guess it would be the other way of wording that.
Just to get it, because my head didn't wrap around that quite.
Yeah, yep, or 88%, yeah. Excuse me. And, yeah, so that would be – I mean, if we could get up to where we were cutting 50%, I mean, that would just be a huge increase. In the timber money, unlike the state money, it goes right into the general fund. So that there's no strings tied to it. You can do whatever you want with it. You can go, well, we're fixing the North Jetty Road, but you could just say, we're going to go fix this road, and that could come right out of your general fund. We're going to hire 6 deputies, 3 in the east, 3 in the west, and then that, and you know, that's what that money is for. Whereas right now, it's a boy to get anything bought, it's just a song and dance.
So you brought up two things you said made me think of something else. One was the Good Neighbor Agreement, which made me think of the clinic that they're wanting to put in here.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that on Monday night they spoke with the city and updated them with information. So what's kind of the current status of that?
Well, Currently, it's in a holding pattern. I would say that until we come to an agreement on the good neighbor agreement, once again, it is holding, and we need to make sure that everybody's bought off on that. And, you know, I'm still hearing from a couple of people that aren't happy that it's going in there. But the majority of the people that we have had time to talk with and explain the system and, you know, this is what we're willing to do and temporary, and that building's going to be used for other things, but we've got to have a way to pay for that building, which is, you know, that's where the funding is. That's where the state's willing to pay. So we've come a long ways from that first town hall, I believe you were at with us. It's been really positive. The county learned a lot through that process, and I wish I would have been maybe involved in that process sooner than I was. But that was just this team working over here and this team working over here, and we didn't let Commissioner Sendega know what was going on
left
until
hand
later.
Didn't know what the right hand was doing, sort of.
Well, yeah, and all just everybody doing the best they can and working for a single, for the single goal, for the better. And it was just, I think one group thought somebody had talked to me, and by the time I got looped in, the building was bought. Hmm. So that was tough, but you know, we've changed up the program right now. We've got some just Carla and Kachina who are heading it up now are just absolutely fantastic, and they've worked so hard over here and have come a long ways on that building. So I feel a lot better off where we're at now.
Cool. All right. Thanks. And lastly, having been a former contractor, I probably know the answer to this, but you know, I'm thinking, let's do North Jetty Road. Let's do the parking lot. Let's do it in the summertime. Whose brainchild was that? I shouldn't say it like that, because I don't mean it as a negative.
No.
Because it's got to be done when it's got to be done. But, you know, people go, you know.
Yeah, no.
The road's closed till September. Yeah.
No, I get it. I don't know. I mean, that would be between Public Works and our local contractors.
So you're not getting into that. Huh? You don't want to touch that.
Some of these things are really hard, George, because you're just excited. You finally got funding to fix something.
Oh, I'm excited because, I mean, every time I hit a hole going in that parking lot, I was like, when are they going to fix this?
It's just it's terrible. And then the timing opens up, and then so everybody works so hard to get it to here, and then the last thing you want to be is me hollering at them, well, why are you doing it right now? So I just try to stay as positive on everything as I can, and I know that timing is really unfortunate. And in all reality, I don't know how it landed that way. I haven't had time to go through that.
But to look on the positive side, it's going to be a great thing to have done.
Oh, so needed.
Anybody who's been out on the North Jetty or in the North Jetty parking lot.
Well, they were craters. I mean, they weren't potholes.
No, they weren't potholes. They were. I mean, your car would disappear in one of those.
Don't hit those with your car, yeah. And so I think, and that's kind of just the world I've been living in, is so excited that it's actually getting fixed. And that was something that we prioritized. And, you know, we don't get a lot of wins over here, George. So when we get one, I'm gonna champion it around. But yeah, timing could have been better, for sure. Absolutely.
Ryan Sendega is our West Lane County Commissioner. Ryan, thank you for hopping by today, and appreciate your time.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
And next up on the June edition of Our Town, we'll talk with Bettina Hannigan from the Florence Area Chamber of Commerce.